Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we're here 1 month after Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, the Mississippi, Louisiana, some of Alabama. And so I'd like to talk about that 1 month later, the devastation that is the city of New Orleans, and what lessons have we learned from it. And the city, it seems that the city is even worse off than we have thought to date. But we'll talk through that, but we can't start without mentioning John Roberts being confirmed as Chief Justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I just did an hour interview on a radio station, secular radio station in North Carolina, regarding government, law, judges, John Roberts. And just to summarize that whole interview, as long as our Christian leaders refrain from campaigning for judges who fear God, what should happen is our Christian leaders should ask for judges who fear God. That should be their number of their qualifications of what would make a good judge. That should be number one on the list. But as long as our Christian leaders, the national Christian leaders and local, of course, but focusing on the national Christian leaders, as long as they refrain from campaigning for judges who fear God, and instead of that, as long as they ask only for judges who will follow process, America will continue our moral decline. So my challenge to our Christian leaders is that they need to lobby for not only judges, but public officials also, leaders. But right now, talking about judges, my challenge to our Christian leaders is that they need to lobby for judges who fear God. And they should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not even when it comes to government. Because guess what? Judges are saved in the same way that plumbers are saved. It's all through Jesus Christ. And if we want to give judges and presidents and governors the false comfort that they could ignore God in their jobs as long as they follow process, then they have the approval of our national Christian ministries, we do them a grave disservice. Because on Judgment Day, there's not a single judge. When God, Jesus Christ, said we will be judged by our words and our deeds, those who are not Christians, those who are will not go to the great white throne judgment. But those who are not Christians, they will be judged by their words and their deeds. And God is not going to go to a single judge and say, well, did you follow the rules? If you follow the process, then okay, no problem. That's not going to be one of his criteria. He's going to want to know if they did right or they did wrong, and the extent to which they did wrong, they will be punished. And this shouldn't be news to anybody. You could do a lot of wrong while following the process. Okay. Now, Hurricane Katrina, it's been a month after that natural disaster, that natural catastrophe. And we look at what the city looks like of New Orleans and, of course, the rest of the Gulf Coast that was devastated. But New Orleans in particular. Many Christians have said this was biblical judgment against the city, right? And why would that be? Well, New Orleans is an evil city, no doubt. You can argue that it is the perversion capital of the South. You could argue that. Certainly it was the murder capital of the country on and off there. And with Mardi Gras and Southern decadence. In fact, a lot of Christians said God did this because 100,000 homosexuals were expected in New Orleans the weekend after Katrina hit. And so what we point out is that Christians should not just take any destruction and attribute it to God. You shouldn't tell people that God did something unless you know that God did it, because you're a spokesman for Jesus Christ, and to be a good spokesman, you can't be giving out false information. So if you're going to say that God did something, you better know that he did it, because he could get angry. If we accuse him of like 9/11 or drowning Susan Smith's two kids or the Holocaust or a child who's tortured and raped and murdered, and God's not going to take kindly of somebody saying God did it when he didn't. So regarding natural disasters, you know, if this was judgment from God, the hand of God, well, then what was he targeting? The elderly? Because they're the ones who really were punished disproportionately, who were killed. The poor, the infirm, the few babies who died. I mean, the French Quarter, that stands on high ground. And so the French Quarter, you know, what they had bars that I don't think ever closed down. They had some water, but hardly any compared to the city. And they're open already. Maybe not the whole quarter, not every business, but they're open. They're looking forward to Mardi Gras. And so it seems a little foolish. At Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the cities were wiped out, and God predicted it in advance and then did it. And so we could know through Abraham and the testimony he gave that God was doing this, and the wicked people did not escape Sodom and Gomorrah. But for Christians to say God did this to punish the French Quarter and the homosexuals, well, they all made it out. But to punish the evil government, because, you know, that mayor down there, Ray Nagin, he's pretty bad, and he made it out. The city council, they made it out. They meet in Baton Rouge. So we Christians need to use a lot more wisdom and concern when we're going to attribute something to God, because you don't want to misrepresent your boss on earth. What if you work and you have a boss and you misrepresent the boss? Imagine that. Some customer's really mad because whatever, you know, some kind of disaster, like they were overcharged or something. And you say, oh, the boss did that on purpose. I mean, you're fired. You're toast. You're history. You don't misrepresent the boss. You don't misrepresent the general, the mayor, the governor, the president, or the teacher, or the pastor, because it's disrespectful. And when we misrepresent God, we think it's no big deal because he doesn't strike us dead right then. But it's wrong to do. So we shouldn't do it. Now to the city of New Orleans, they want to rebuild it, although the mayor has said the new city will be a lot smaller than the old city and perhaps half the population. And that might end up being a good prediction. It might end up being optimistic. Here's what's going on. They've invited some people back to some neighborhoods. By the way, our phone number is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. John Roberts or Hurricane Katrina are the preferred topics today. Okay, so they're inviting people back to the French Quarter, to a couple other neighborhoods, the business district downtown. And the mayor's saying, when you come back, if you're going to a home and you find out that you have no services, which most of you will not, I mean, they're telling people you can't even bathe in the water. Never mind you can't drink the water. They're telling them don't wash your hands in the water and don't bathe in the water. In fact, they're telling them, don't breathe. Well, they're saying use a filter, a mask, because the mold in the homes at 100-degree heat and the sewage in the water and the mold that's been destroying the homes, they're saying before you come back into New Orleans, have a tetanus shot, wear rubber gloves, and don't wash your hands in the water. Definitely don't drink it or bathe in it. And wear a mask before you go into a building or your home. This is a disaster, huh? This is the meaning of a disaster. And they're inviting people back into a city that has no functioning hospital. There's no hospital. And it's a dangerous city. It's a dangerous place to be. It has no 911 service, at least no reliable 911 service. I mean, it's a month later and you could drive by streets with power lines hanging and flapping in the wind next to police cars that are the windows broken open and the trunk open, and it's been looted. And it looks like it was a hurricane 2 days ago, and it's a month later still. That's the devastation that they're trying to dig out from. And the city has no drinkable water in its water system, unless you carry it in as bottled water. So this is rough to try to go back in and reestablish your presence in that city, whether you're a business or a resident. And then on top of that, Hurricane Rita added to the total confusion when it caused the city's poorest areas to flood again. Just devastating. USA Today has a great article, a series of articles summing up where the city is at now a month later. And to look at the issue of restoring water. You know, one of the reasons that is so difficult. You know, on Bob and Yurt Live a couple months ago, we did a show titled Louisiana is Sinking. Remember that? We took a press release from the USGS, United States Geological Society, where they said, this is long before Katrina, weeks before, they said Louisiana is sinking because the Gulf, it's built on sediment from the Mississippi Basin, and it's literally sinking, and so are the levees. Now, we didn't mention the levees in that show, but the whole southern Louisiana is sinking. And by the way, we use that to illustrate in the debate we had against the old earth creationists here in Denver. We sell a great debate on a CD. It's a 2.5 hour moderated debate, the audio plus the video of science slides and text files of notes about the Big Bang and geology. And we argued that the earth is young and the surface of the earth was recently reformed by a global flood just about 5,000 years ago, 4,500 years ago. And so this is all new and it's just settling. It's not billions of years old. And so the fact that Louisiana is sinking at such a rapid rate is evidence that the young earth creationists are right. And the surface of the earth is not settled and tranquil like it might be after billions of years, but it's still in turmoil, still settling from a global catastrophe. Okay, so at any rate, they want to restore water, but that is this extraordinarily difficult problem. Why? The ground, it was sinking. What happens when you add billions of gallons of water to a city? It gets heavier, and the ground is now waterlogged, and it is so heavy that it's sinking more rapidly, and it's causing hundreds of breaks in water pipes as it settles. So you have water mains throughout a city, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles of water pipes through any major city, including New Orleans. And now we have Terry Ebert, the city's Homeland Security chief. By the way, the police chief just resigned. The Homeland Security Chief of New Orleans, Terry Ebert, said there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of breaks in the water pipes underground. And he said there's no water pressure. You cannot run the sewer system. Storm drains are all plugged with debris. The storm drains, you know, you see in the manhole covers and all that system. And every storm drain they have has to be manually cleared. They have to remove the cover. They have to vacuum it out and pump it. And you know how many storm drains they have? 55,000. And it's a month later, and they still have no idea who is going to do it, let alone how long it will take. How's that? This is a major disaster. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Denver. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy.
Hey, I just got a cold. Caught a chest cold. And yeah. I want to know who to blame.
Who to blame?
Is that Satan's fault or God's fault? Or
you know what's funny? We tell Christians, if you can't figure out who did something, Satan or God, you got a messed up theology. And millions of Christians, something happens like a meeting is canceled or something, and they think God did it, and then they think, wait, maybe the devil did it, and they don't know. They're perplexed. Mm. So if you're not sure if God did it or the devil did it, we should figure out that we really don't know what we're talking about. So anyway, I would attribute it to you probably got picked up a germ from somebody.
Oh.
Were you hanging around any liberals lately?
No liberal. I never hang around.
They're a little germy. You know, and
that's because they're all vegetarian.
Vitamin C, that'll kill you. Vitamin C?
Yeah.
You got to take that.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we go out with our kids, if we go the Rocky Mountains hiking or whatever, we will normally pick up the trash on the trail and pack it out of the trail. Not our trash, of course, ours, but others. And we teach our kids as Christians, their job is to clean up after liberals. We tell them, get used to it, young kids. Your lifelong job is to clean up the mess that the liberals make.
You taught them well.
Yes. So, Dave, I you just got a cold.
I have a follow-up question.
All right.
I want to know about blessings and curses. I know that in the Bible, God provides blessings for nations and also curses.
Yes.
And I was wondering if he still does that in the age of grace.
Oh, yeah. But I think even back in the Old Testament, it was different than most people assume.
Hmm. Now, it's like Hal Lindsey said recently on ABC News that the judgment of America has begun with all these hurricanes.
Yeah, he's been saying that since the 70s.
Yeah, I think he said the world was going to end in 1973, but it's...
Well, let's see, let me put on my Hal Lindsey cap to remember. Late Great Planet Earth,
right.
1981 was supposed to be the rapture,
yeah.
7 years before the Second Coming, which was 1988, 40 years after Israel became a nation. Mm. That was the chronology he basically laid out in Late Great Planet Earth that sold over 20 million copies.
Now, if a nation is like really evil, like the United States with all its abortion and the Terry Schiavo monstrosity, is it wrong to ask God to curse the nation?
No, it's not. And it's not wrong to ask God to judge the nation. But God could. You know, when there's men who are... I like to use the example of child molesters who rape and murder children.
Right.
Because sometimes to think clearly, you have to test your ideas. And like with computer software, you write a function to multiply two numbers. Mm. And one way you test it is you multiply two tiny, tiny fractions and then two huge numbers. And you test things by looking at the extremes.
Right.
And so you look at people, men who molest and torture and murder children, and you realize that that's not part of God's plan.
They aren't struck down by lightning or whatever.
Right. God is not glorified by that. God does not get pleasure from that. That's just flat out wicked people disobeying God. Hmm. And God could stop them. He could.
Right.
And someday he will. And we call that the end times, the second coming. So when God decides to stop all the murder and the pornography and the rape and the torture, he will.
Right.
And he's going to do that.
Right.
But today, he's allowing people the freedom to love or hate.
Like in the Bible story where Jesus talks about the sower who sows the seed, and then the enemy comes and sows weeds.
Yeah, so that's
what's
happening.
We have to put up with weeds for now.
Yes. All right, Dave, that's what's happening.
All right, have a good one, Bob.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-N-Y-A-R-T. That's 1-800-8-E-N-Y-A-R-T. All right, so you've got the water system is a complete disaster. The storm drains hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of breaks in their water pipes and water mains. And then this Homeland Security chief, Terry Ebert, he asked this. He says, he's talking about how do you fix New Orleans? He says, financially, how do you stay solvent when you have no money? He said, we have zero income. Imagine that. A city government has no revenue. None, because the businesses have all closed down. Nobody's paying taxes in New Orleans. He says, how do you create a criminal justice system? He said, we don't have a DA's office. That's a good point, right? The first building I think they started building after Katrina was the jail. That tells you something about our society. He says, how do you give a contract to a local vendor when they do not have any employees? Like, you want to hire vendors, businesses to start fixing the city, and you could give those contracts to local businesses, and they have no employees. How do you bring back a sewage treatment plant when the plant was underwater and it's just devastated? How do you bring people back to a city if you do not have a school system? That's a good one, isn't it? Because in our culture today, we're dependent on other people providing daycare for our kids all day long. So how do you bring back people to a city when there is no school system? And he said, this was the destruction of a city. That's true. He estimated that 70% of the city's buildings will be bulldozed, just leveled, razed. And that's 70% of 160,000 buildings. Wow, what is that? 112,000 buildings destroyed. 80 of the city's school buildings will have to be torn down. Now, they have 115 school buildings, but they said, you know what? We won't need that many school buildings because hundreds of thousands of people may not come back. Now, the mayor, Ray Nagin, who should resign, but of course lacks the integrity or the wisdom to do that. Ray Nagin, he's working at his new office, which is in the Hyatt Hotel in downtown New Orleans. And that might sound like, well, he's holed up in a cushy place, right? Except that the Hyatt Hotel was so damaged by Hurricane Katrina that it is closed for repairs until 2007, according to the Hyatt Corporation. It's closed until 2007. And if you want to use the bathroom, you got to go outside because one side of the hospital has a row of portable toilets the length of the building. And by the way, you can't check in. It's not open. Not to the public, anyway. So the mayor said, look, when people return, we're going to be a smaller city and maybe half the population. And that could be a good estimate. And when we said right after Katrina that it would be a rush to judgment to say the city should be rebuilt, you got to look and listen to civil engineers. And to consider the matter carefully, not just a thoughtless reaction, we're automatically going to rebuild it. We've got to think through. And if only parts of the city could be protected because they're on higher ground and they have $100 million worth of, or more, worth of high rises, well, then, you know, you got to make those decisions. Now, the mayor said that residents of 8 zip codes in the city, including the French Quarter, that they may return tomorrow. So they're expanding the area to which people could return. But they're warning them that make sure you are able to stay. When you get to your home, wherever you're headed, make sure you're going to be able to stay there overnight. Because if you can't, we want you to leave by sunset. And many people they're expecting are going to go in and grab some of their valuables and leave. Now, for 15 years on the air here at Bob and Yart Live, we have warned people that when the government helps, one of the consequences of the government helping people in need is that their friends and neighbors and relatives don't. When the government helps people in need, then others don't. And let me give you an example of that with Katrina. From our little church, Denver Bible Church. Now, we provided and we made known through a couple different channels, including this radio show, that we had opportunities for maybe a half dozen families to come and stay with Christian families in separate, condos or homes or upstairs or downstairs apartments. And one of those cases is a couple that go to our church. Let me use different names. Let me make up aliases. Let's see. I'll call them Mike and Tracy. And Mike grew up in New Orleans with parents who were not Christian. And in fact, a lot of trouble, dysfunctional family. And the parents today are substance abusers, alcoholics. And Mike is a strong Christian with his wife, Tracy. And so Hurricane Katrina hits. His parents' home is destroyed. So he talks to them on the phone 2 days later, says, "Mom, Dad, I want you to know that you're welcome to come and live with us. While you're trying to decide what to do, you could stay for, you know, a few months, 6 months, and you could live. We have a basement apartment, and we welcome you into our home." And they did say there would be a couple requirements, the main one being you cannot be drunk. Now, does that sound bad or good? Does that sound like the beginning of a bad story or the beginning of a hopeful story? To me, it sounds like the beginning of a hopeful story. And there's been a broken family, and the children could show love to the parents who need guidance, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, the federal government was here to help, and the federal government told the parents, "We will put you up in a hotel for 3 months, all expenses paid." So where do you think the parents took? What'd you offer? The hotel. Because the front desk, they don't care if they're drunk or not. What do they care? They don't care if they go to hell or not. What do they care? All they care is that the bill gets paid and the federal government will pay the bill. Multiply that story with others like it times 10 million. And you get the idea of the misery that America's misguided compassion has created in the last decade. And multiply that by decade by decade by decade. All right, so we're about out of time. Oh, also, you know how Hurricane Katrina, the whole racial issue, has been pushed by the media and liberals arguing that this is a big racial issue, which is, of course, inane. And normally during a catastrophe, that's when people come together. And these tragedies should have brought black and white Americans together. But the media and the liberals have used this tragedy to inflame racial tension. Why did they do it? If the Clintons were in the White House, there wouldn't have been a peep from the media that this was because of racism, that so many black people were not helped by the federal government. There wouldn't have been a peep to that effect. But this was said because there was a Republican in the White House. And so the media and liberals are willing to inflame racial tension simply as a political ploy. Why? Because they hate God, and that manifests itself in a hatred for everything that's good and right. All right, we're out of time, but that's New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina debrief 1 month later from Bob and Yurt Live. So I appreciate the call we got from Dave. And look forward to being on the show with you tomorrow. We got a special show planned. And I want to encourage you, our telethon, wow, we're up to about 35% of our monthly pledges. And about, how much? About 50% of our goal to our $10,000 in one-time gifts. And boy, do we need your help to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the internet for another year. So the phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could go to the web at kgov.com. And some people said, "Bob, KGov looks so weird. It looks so different. It's sort of scary. What happened?" We thought, well, we're just letting people know we only have a day left. We need your help. And check out Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Great school.